bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Finding God in Prison. This is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Today we have a guest with us on our show. His name is Shaquille Johnson. He is a graduate multiple times of the WINGS program over at CFCF in the Philadelphia Department of Prisons. But today he is the founder of a new recovery home or transitional home for men coming home from prison. And he's going to tell us all about it and his plan for success and reentry. Shaquille, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I appreciate the warm welcome.
You're very welcome, and thanks for taking the time to join us. So if you can, let's go back to the early days and how you grew up, and tell the listening audience a little bit about yourself and how we met inside CFCF, and then bring us right up to date into what you're actually doing today, the project you're involved with.
Sure. I grew up, my parents, you know, being born and raised in Jamaica, they came over here as immigrants. I was born in the U.S. My dad was sort of kind of like a Rolling Stone, so he was around for me, but I didn't have him as like a role model, as like what a father or a man should really be. So, you know, grew up having troubles and up, I kicked out of every school I went to, like literally, you know, didn't get it together even after that. Ended up going to placement for some time, came home. I came home and signed up right for community college. But I just wasn't prepared for it. So that didn't last long, about like 4 months of that. And then I was, you know, in the streets, you know, selling drugs and things of that nature, which leads to a certain way of living. And that criminality led me to go to prison. And that's when I, you know, took the initiative to sign up for the WINGS program. And my life hasn't really been the same ever since.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you giving us an overview. And tell me, you know, you mentioned that your dad was like a Rolling Stone. And one of my actually favorite songs is from The Temptations, Papa Was a Rolling Stone. Could you expand on that a little bit for us, Shaquille?
Okay, well, my mom separated from my father in like first grade. And, you know, because he was doing his thing. He was doing his own thing. Wasn't really leading the household as a man's supposed to. So, you know, but he always stayed in my life, though. Like, he never, you know, abandoned me or anything like that. He stayed in my life, but, you know, which was a good and a bad thing, because I only learned what not to do from my father, but I'm at the age of 30 now, so now I could, you know, properly, revise all the information that I've acquired from watching him over the years and, you know, see the error and such. But as in my younger days, you know, it's a specific word, I can't find it right now, but couldn't really process that information, and I was just following right in his footsteps.
Okay.
And that's the year.
All right. So, you know, appreciate you sharing that story with us, because it's important. You know, the WINGS program was born in Philadelphia 30 years ago, and it was dedicated to providing support to women and children from single-parent homes. And And so today we're here 30 years later, and, you know, you and I met actually in CFCF in the Philadelphia Department of Prisons. And when you first attended the WINGS program, what were your thoughts, and did you have any idea that it was as extensive as it is?
No, I had no idea as far as, you know, I heard things about it, you know, being prison small, so people talk. I heard it, you know, multiple times being mentioned. I heard it being yelled over the intercom for people to come to group. And then, you know, one day I just asked a person when he was coming back, because I watched him leave when he called it that day. And I was asking what this is about. He just was telling me, you know, he spoke very highly of it. And I was like, I gotta check it out. Because typically groups is like real mundane, real, like, you know, whitewashed. It's not like authentic. It's not genuine. It's just pushing paper. So, you know, I didn't really have too high of an expectation, but I was definitely in for a surprise.
Excellent. And Shaquille, how old are you today?
I'm 30.
30. And so how old were you when you were first arrested?
My first time ever being arrested, I want to say 13, 14, I got arrested at school.
And what were the charges?
Assault. I was fighting in school with another classmate of mine's, and the hallway monitor tried to break it up, and I kicked him by accident, because I didn't intend to do it, but I believe he knew it wasn't intentional, but assault is assault, so.
Yeah.
So that was my first time ever getting arrested.
Okay, and how many times have you been arrested, and how many years have you served?
All together, I would say I served about 10 years. As far as the times, or amount of times I've been arrested, I would say about, about 8 times. Okay. Like, you know, like majority of the times was petty things. The assault wasn't a petty thing, but like, you know, selling weed and stuff like that. They might find me with like a couple bags of weed in my pocket. And,
right.
Stuff like that. But other than that, nothing. My last charge, where I was able to meet you, was for homicide, burglary, and conspiracy.
Okay, and that was about 8 years ago, roughly. And what was the number one change that you needed to make, and you actually made in your life as a result of you know, your years of incarceration?
Well, I can speak in two ways. Specifically pertaining to your program was my priorities. I never sat down and just thought about what was my priorities or what was my values in life. Never sat down and thought about that. You know what I mean? We just going with the everyday life, and you know, so getting that in order helped me greatly. And also, just in the entire time frame that I've been incarcerated, I would say one of the main things I needed to get in order was personal development. I felt like I didn't, you know, I felt like I had things that I wanted to accomplish, but didn't know the information necessary to, you know, do anything really with myself. So I felt like, you know, I spent about 2,200 hours during my incarceration just feeding myself with books, whether from all range of different topics and categories. That was like the main three things that really helped me on my trajectory.
Okay. And so today you're 30 years old, and basically, we know each other at least 8 years, I believe, and, you know, we even spent some time with your sister and your mom over at Drexel University when we had our classroom there for 5.5 years. We had your nephew there with us, as well as your mom and sister, trying to help your nephew while you were in this facility called CFCF. And so, you know, we go back, we have some history. And just for a listening audience, Shaquille is involved in a very, you know, promising project to help men who are coming home from the Philadelphia Department of Prisons. And can you talk a little bit about your plans for the men coming home?
So, to lead into it, a pastor by the name of Pastor Purvis came into the church, and he spoke on the topic of how the children, God's people, was taken into captivity under Nebuchadnezzar's rule. But while they was in captivity, you know, they still planted gardens and built their houses. I was like, damn, they was locked up just like me, and they was being productive. And that's what sparked my journey right there when I heard that word. Like, it was given directly from me, it felt like. So started just educating myself, and now that I've been home, I've been able to put myself in a position to now house men coming from incarceration and give them pretty much the same course of action as far as material needed, information needed, resources needed in order to be productive and lead, you know, successful lives. So that's pretty much what I've accomplished. I created an organization called Johnson Family Community Housing, and, you know, we're on track within, I would say 11 days exactly to get our first round of people within this house, which is the first of many. And the objective is every individual that's in the house is going to get their own personal laptop. They're going to get free credit repair. They're going to get free LLC formation if that's something that they aspire to have. You know, resume building. They have a laptop so you can take classes or courses if that's something that they're interested in. And we have contracts with job temp agencies that's, you know, hire on the spot. And the goal is to, after the program is over, once their credit is fixed and once they have a stable income, to graduate them into their own living arrangements. And that's what I've been working on since I've been home, and I'm finally almost at the finish line.
Okay. And tell me, Shaquille, why did you reach out to me and the WINGS program?
Well, I reached out to you and the WINGS program because I understand how beneficial it was in my transition to being who I am today. So I wanted to make sure that I, you know, assisted in extending that to the men that's going to find themselves in my headquarters or household, however you word that. So it's not really considered a halfway house, so I don't like to say that, but that's pretty much why I reached out to you. I want to give these men the best of the best. That's why I didn't stockpile them in the room. Everybody has their own bedroom, their own bathroom, their own kitchen. Okay. You know, nobody shares anything, you know, unless they would like to.
Right.
So I want to change that environment where, oh, if they go to a halfway house, it's just a step down from prison, and it's so easy to go back. And they're not offering the things that I'm offering because they're not really concerned with, you know, that individual's, you know, success or demise. That's not what they're there for. They're just to work and go home. So they're not really set up in order to win. And, you know, halfway houses are organizations which makes a lot of money on a large scale. I'm coming out of pocket to provide these necessary things for these men. So it could be done. It's just a matter of, you know, a bottom line. And it's not really their purpose or their calling to serve. So, you know, I felt like it was a need that needed to be met. And I just pretty much signed up.
Okay. All right. So it's a great project. And it's not without challenges, you know. You know, and we had the Wings program house for men in the Northeast Philly section down by Cottman Avenue for several years. And there's always interesting things that occur, you know. And so one of the challenges we had were to make sure that the men were doing what they said they were going to be doing, and to get them involved with education and also work, community service, to give back. And all of that, you know, is important. And the stronger the man is, the more he can do for himself and his family or for the community. And that was always one of our goals. Now, in our home, we had a drive-by shooting one day, and it made it very, you know, unsafe, actually. It was right next door to our house. There was a drive-by shooting. And so, you know, it put the guys themselves into a very vulnerable area. And we also had some kids break into the back, you know, and actually started smoking marijuana there. And we had to secure that area. But for the most part, you know, it was a great learning experience for me because it was the first recovery home we had. We actually rehabbed the home. It was donated by Wells Fargo. And, you know, we had it for several years and helped the men to move on. So what do you think is one of your greatest challenges right now as you begin your project?
One of my greatest challenges is, I would say, creating a solid system, you know, just with, you know, if I'm being forward thinking, this is the first. I've never done this before. I never even ever in my life accomplished something on this level before. So I would say the greatest challenge in moving forward would just be, you know, embarking new territory. Okay. That's pretty much me.
Okay. Okay. So that, you know, it's a team effort, Shaquille, and we're going to work together, you know, to provide the Wings program to your men. We're going to do it virtually, and when we get a location that's prominent, we're going to bring the men there and do the Wings program. And we've had more than 1,800 men come through the Wings program from the Philadelphia Department of Prisons. We've had hundreds come through other prisons, and also from the House of Adonai in Kensington over a seven-year period. And through, you know, radio and television, we've had literally, you know, access to thousands and thousands of men. And with a close to 80% success rate, I'm very pleased with those results. And so one of the things I would recommend for you is to, you know, we want to achieve success in reentry for your men. And so, you know, how would you define success in reentry for any man, including yourself?
Success for reentry for myself, it'll be, you know, if I could define it for myself, it'll be a stable income, my own house, and a 780 credit score. You know, and I say that because I'm, you know, with those things, you know, a lot of other things are subsidiaries for that.
Okay.
So that's why I say that for myself.
And, right.
Ideally, I would say the same thing for the men coming home. You know, that's why part of the program is based on me fixing their credit and giving them free LLCs. you know, on top of getting them immediate employment, like their first week home, I can pretty much guarantee them employment. And I think that's extremely necessary. And I think also for these men's success is that coming home, Tony did 7 years. I know individuals that have been locked up 37 years, 40 years. So me only doing 7 years and coming back to an environment that I left to it being something totally different was not easy. I don't know another word to say this, so I'm going to say it the way I know to say it, but it wasn't as dramatic as it's going to sound. I literally went to the store for like cosmetics. I went to go get like some deodorant or something from like a Five Below. When I went in the store, this is the word that's not as dramatic as I'm making it seem, but I literally had a panic attack because it's something so small and nobody would think about it. I had so many options. I was locked up for seven years ordering the same food every week off the same list. There's only so much I could buy from commissary. So going into that store having so many options is like, damn, I need that too. Or I should get one of these. I literally just had to walk out the store. You know, so it's small stuff like that.
Sure.
Because it is a lot of PTSD involved with, you know, coming home from prison on a deep psychological level.
Okay.
And they don't have any help. I didn't have any help with that.
Right.
You know, I had nobody to really confide into except for the brothers that was serving life in prison that couldn't really relate but could understand where I was coming from. So I feel like that's also a big key to their success, being able to meet them where they're at in areas that, you know, only a certain amount of people that's doing what I'm doing. Pretty much nobody is doing what I'm doing. But I can relate to them in that area.
Okay. All right. So success in reentry is the goal. Otherwise, meet people, return to prison, and then have to repeat the past. And, you know, for the rest of the Wings program, we look at success and reentry, and you mentioned one of them, you know, which is space and privacy, to own your own home and to have space and privacy. Because if you're coming from a cell 6x9, possibly with a roommate or multiple roommates, you really want to have space and privacy. But success also, as we look at it, is also, you know, spiritually based, where we have a relationship with God. We are building a career. We're building a family. We're giving back to the community. And we want to, you know, have a balanced life where it's not just about the financial, but it's also about the family. It's about the, you know, the spiritual end. As many of our men also have children, what can we do to help the kids of the guys coming home as well? So that's another aspect to Wings, which we want to put out to you right now. So we know that when guys come home, they're going to need a lot of support. And they're also going to need, you know, a lot of confidence to be built up, you know, because they've been wounded in a lot of ways. Some of them have lost homes. Some of them have lost cars. Their credit has to be restored. They've lost the trust of their family. So they really, you know, have a lot of work to do. And that's where, you know, Wings comes in, you come in, and we help men to, you know, succeed in reentry versus to return to prison itself. And, you know, it's one of the challenges we have nationwide because there are over 2.5 million men and women in prison today, more than 6.5 million who are either in prison, on parole, probation, out on bail, on house arrest. And so the numbers are very great. Our job is to help people to avoid prison as well. And so one of the things we've done is to take people into the schools to help the youth to avoid being incarcerated, to avoid being the drug dealer on the street and possibly being, you know, in a position where you could be killed. So what is your message to the young men out there? You're only 30 today, but what is your message to the youth out there, the teenagers in high school, where you were about 15 to 17 years ago?
My message with them is, it'll be like, it's not about your friends. You know, just don't get too caught up in your friends. I feel like that's detrimental. It's crazy because I just was, as a youngin' of mine, whose brother is serving 35 to 60 years in prison, and his other only brother, tragically passed away in a motorcycle accident. And he's just out there all alone. And I've been picking him up, taking him with me to the banks, letting him see, because he don't know. I know how I'm open up in the camp and show him, yo, Dango, he just came into the bank and the bank just gave him $25,000. That's crazy. Like, just expanding his territory. Because it's like, you know, he's just out there and he doesn't know what he wants, but he's always consumed with what his friends are doing, like, to the point where it's though, I needed some help putting together this bed frame today. So I said, you know what, I'm going to go pick up my youngin. He helped me out with some money in his pockets. I go up on him. He at where he always at on the corner. I'm like, yo, and mind you, he's not hustling. So he's not, it's not even like he's out there making money or anything. Not that that's good, but I'm just trying to paint the picture. He's just out there in an area where everybody is hustling, packing guns, and he's just in the mix and has no benefit of it. So I go to pick him up to pull him from out of that. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to come. I got a, my homie want to walk somewhere and he don't want to walk alone. And I'm like, all right. But then later on that night, he texted me and said, bro, can you send me $20 real quick? And I just had to call him and tell him that's not how this works. You're 18 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like I used to give you $50 here and there. I'm like, you know, had a good week. I gave you $100. You know what I'm saying? But that's over with. You're 18.
Yeah.
You can't not choose to work and then still ask people for money. That's not what a man does. But he doesn't have the same thing I didn't have.
Hey, Shaquille, I don't mean to interrupt you, but we're almost out of time. And I'm going to ask you to come back on and do a second show. Would you do that for us?
I would love to.
Absolutely. We're going to do that. And my friends, you're listening to Shaquille Johnson, the founder of a brand new transitional home for men coming home from prison. And we wish you the very best with your project, and may God bless you and our listening audience. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. This is Deacon Joe Montone. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio in Finding God in Prison. Have a great day, and God bless.